It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Wow, good morning. And welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, June 5th. How are we doing this morning? Glad you can join me for an hour of golf talk. And if you're on your way to your tee time, keep it in the fairway. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. And by Johnny O Apparel. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual. The best of both worlds. Apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com to learn more. Whew. Back from Isle Mirada, Florida, where I spent last weekend for my brother-in-law's 60th birthday celebration. It was a lot of fun, to say the least. But, you know, it's not a golf destination. We had a great time on the water, boating, etc. But I miss playing golf. There's a little par 3 course as part of a resort that was across the street from where we were staying. So I was desperate to play it. So I booked a massage at their spa so I could play the course. But unfortunately, the course there was not in great shape. But, you know, it could be a gem if they took care of it. But I had to get a little bit of work in on my short game. Nonetheless, I have the BMW Charity Pro-Am coming up this week in Greenville, South Carolina. Very excited to be invited back to play in it. It's the only event on the Korn Ferry Tour that combines amateur players. There's 25 celebrity amateur players and other amateurs playing with pros from the Korn Ferry Tour. So a lot of pressure. It's an exciting week. And this morning you'll hear a conversation I had with Michael McGovern, the tournament director of the BMW Charity Pro-Am. And we talk about all the festivities that take place throughout the week. And David Wells won his celebrity division last year. He was one shot behind with one hole to go. And his last hole was the par 3 ninth. And so what does he do? He aces the hole to win his division and a car. I mean, what a finish last year for David Wells. And Ken Griffey Jr., he'll be playing again this year. Ozzie Smith, Larry the Cable Guy, Sterling Sharp of the NFL. Troy Mullins, the long drive champion. She can crush the ball. She'll be there. Fellow golf broadcasters, Lauren Thompson, Michael Collins, Brian Katrick of PGA Tour Radio. They will all be playing as well. So it's a diverse group of celebrity players. And actually, on the Wednesday of this week at the BMW Charity Pro-Am, Hall of Famer Amy Alcott, she'll be hosting a golf luncheon and a clinic for women, which I will be a part of. So a lot of things going on there. It's really a great week. And if you've ever been to Greenville, South Carolina, you know what a beautiful town it is. I mean, very artsy, lots of excellent restaurants. And then you have that BMW Driving Performance Center in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I have to tell you, if you like to race cars and test drive cars, they have tracks there where you can race against the clock, you can test your driving skills, and then you can also get into a car with a professional race car driver. Man, I nearly lost my lunch in the back seat. I mean, they drive so fast. It was pretty interesting to do that. So that's one of the things happening this week. And then actually a week from tomorrow, next Monday, is the wonderful charity celebrity tournament that benefits the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center at Montclair Country Club. And Joni and all the folks at the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center, they do such a great job with that golf tourney. And yeah, I so miss Yogi Berra, and Carmen. Yogi was just such an international treasure. And Carmen, just a special lady. But anyway, well, the U.S. Women's Open, final round this afternoon at Pine Needles in Southern Pines, North Carolina, going on. A Donald Ross design Pine Needles. It's the fourth time the course has hosted a U.S. Women's Open. You can watch it on USA Network from 1 to 3 this afternoon and on NBC from 3 to 7. And it's also streaming on Peacock. And Minji Lee, you remember Minji Lee, she won the Founders Cup in New Jersey just a couple weeks ago. Minji Lee, she has a 3-shot lead over Mina Hergi from Northern California. The two players were tied after 36 holes. And Hergi actually had a 1-shot lead through 9 holes. But then Minji Lee, she had 4 straight birdies, holes 9, 10, 11, 12, on her way to shooting a 4-under 67. Hergi then bogeyed, holes 11 and 12. Lee's 13-under 200 after 54 holes is a new record for the U.S. Women's Open, eclipsing Julie Inkster's record of 201 that she set back in 1999. So I love watching Minji Lee play. She has a perfect-looking swing. And her iron game is phenomenal. I mean, she's such a joy to watch. It just, her form is just seems flawless. She won her first major championship last year at the Evian Championship. And so it will be great to watch her go out there this afternoon. Lee and Hergi, the final pairing, that gets started at 2:34 Eastern. You have Bronte Law at 7-under. She is 6 shots back. You have Lydia Ko, former number one, two-time major champion Lydia Ko. She joins 5 others, 7 shots behind. This amateur from Sweden, Ingrid Lindblad, she's been playing very impressively all week. She's also 7 shots back. Then you have Nelly Korda making her first start in 4 months after undergoing surgery for a blood clot. She bogeyed her final 3 holes to fall 9 shots back. What a great season she had last year, Nelly Korda. She won multiple times on the LPGA Tour. She won the gold in the Olympics. And then she gets this blood clot a couple months ago. She has to take 2 months off, had to have surgery. She's only, 23 years old. But she is such a great player. And it's good to see her back playing. And she'll come back strong. It's just a matter of time. She's such a great player. And I was hoping Annika Sorenstam would make the cut. She qualified to play in this U.S. Women's Open based on her win last August at the U.S. Women's Senior Open. And in 1996, Annika won her second of 3 U.S. Open titles right at Pine Needles at the U.S. Open when they hosted it back then. Annika's now 51 years old. She is busy running her foundation, making all kinds of appearances. She's a mom. She doesn't have much time to practice, but I know she did put in quite a bit of practice time, wanting to do very well this week. So I was disappointed. I'm sure she's very disappointed she didn't make the cut, but she carded a 3-over-74 on Thursday. And she was even through 13 holes, but then bogeyed 3 of her final 5 holes. And then on Friday, she shot an 81, so she finished 13 over for the championship. Mike McGee, Annika's husband, actually caddied for her. It was a family affair. She brought her kids, and they had a great time. We'll talk with Steve Eubanks later in the show. He's at Pine Needles for the U.S. Women's Open. He's the managing editor of the LPGA, and he follows golf very closely, so we'll check in with him. And do you know that the purse for the U.S. Women's Open, because of ProMedica, their new title sponsor, has a record $10 million purse. That's an increase of $4.5 million for the women. The winner, later today, will take home $1.8 million. The runner-up will take home $1,080,000. So compare that to the men's purse. John Rahm, last year, he won the U.S. Open last year, won $2.25 million. And the total purse for the men is $12.5 million. But, hey, I'm happy to see the prize money for women increase. It will increase to $12 million in the next 5 years for the women. And it has grown considerably in the last couple years. I mean, the winner, as I mentioned, will win $1.8 million. Compare that to what Annika earned back in 96 when she won the U.S. Open. $212,500. So what a jump. They have come a long way, baby, to repeat that phrase that Virginia Slims coined years ago. But I'm sure some people are still complaining that the women aren't making the prize money that the men are. But you have to look at the positives. The purses have grown considerably, and they will continue to grow. So it's good to see that at least they're growing for the women. Michelle Wee missed the cut. We'll talk about Michelle Wee with Steve Eubanks. Later, Daniel Kang. She has a spinal tumor, she revealed this week, yet she's still playing, and she made the cut. She's tied for 53rd right now, but it's good to see Daniel still playing. That's scary. We'll talk a little bit about her with Steve Eubanks as well. All right, on to the Saudi-funded LIV Golf League. As you know, they announced some of the players who will be playing in their opening event this coming week at the Centurion Club outside of London. And the big surprise to me was Dustin Johnson. I mean, the others who will be playing are Sergio, Louis Oosthuizen, Ian Poulter, Kevin Na, Graham McDowell. But, you know, DJ, he can still win on the PGA Tour. I mean, every time he goes out there, he has a chance to win. But Sergio, Louis, Ian Poulter, and the others are past their prime, and the money they are apparently, you know, making from this other tour is so significant. And I'm also surprised because DJ, just in February, announced he was fully committed to the PGA Tour. And he pulled a major 180 as far as, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's going to play in this Saudi-funded tour. It was reported that this Saudi-funded tour paid him $125 million to be a part of their series, probably just to show up. Then if you win, you there's guaranteed cash, 54 holes. I mean, there's so much money to be made in this other tour. But, you know, DJ also had RBC as a sponsor, the Royal Bank of Canada. In fact, I'm sure you've seen commercials with DJ in them for RBC. And they also sponsor the Heritage and the Canadian Open. The Canadian Open actually taking place this week, the same week as the Saudi-funded tournament. So much for loyalty, DJ. No loyalty to the PGA Tour or to your sponsors. And then it didn't take long for RBC to terminate DJ's contract, as they did with Graham McDowell as well, who was also one of their endorsees. But RBC said in a statement, as a result of the decisions made by professional golfers Dustin Johnson and Graham McDowell to play the LIV Golf Invitational Series opener, RBC is terminating its sponsorship agreement with both players. We wish them well in their future endeavors. And you have Johnson's agent issuing a statement last week. He says, Dustin has been contemplating the opportunity off and on for the past couple of years. Ultimately, he decided it was in his family's best interest to pursue it. Dustin has never had an issue with the PGA Tour and is grateful for all it has given him, but in the end, felt this was too compelling to pass up. End of quote from Johnson's agent. So obviously, they're thinking they can make tons more money in this other tour than even money that he brings home from endorsements. And, you know, it's all about, to me, the moral code regarding playing for this Saudi-funded league. I mean, you hear about all the atrocities that are commonplace over there. The oppression of women, the killing of that Washington Post columnist. They have a long history. But all of this is being ignored as these players want more cash and they want to play less tournaments. Kevin Na actually came out on Twitter and Instagram, and he actually resigned from the PGA Tour so he can play in this Saudi-funded league. He doesn't want to deal with any legal proceedings that may result from the PGA Tour. And he said, hey, I had a great time on the PGA Tour. They've been great to me, but he wants to spend more time with his family, and he wants to be a free agent. He said if he exercises his right to choose where and when to play golf, then he cannot remain a PGA Tour player without facing disciplinary proceedings and legal action from the PGA Tour. So it's getting ugly, folks. I think this is just the beginning of a lot of lawsuits. The next question remains with the USGA, and if they will go along with the PGA Tour's, mantra of banning any tour players from playing on the tour if they participate in this Saudi-funded league. Will the USGA welcome DJ to play next week in the U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline, Mass.? And where is Phil Mickelson in all of this? He's still nowhere to be seen. A lot of people thought he'd be on the list to play in the Saudi-funded tournament, but his name has not been announced. So, lots of questions. How will the RNA handle the Open Championship? Augusta National next year, how will they handle it? These players who are playing for the Saudi-funded events, how will the PGA of America respond to the players who defy the PGA Tour and sign up to play in the Saudi Tour? So, a lot of questions remain. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Billy Herschel, by the way, is playing lights out at the Memorial, and he leads by 5 shots. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk to Michael McGovern, the tournament director for the BMW Charity Pro-Am. But first, let me tell you that some of the world's best golfers will be at the Travelers Championship. Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, world number one Scotty Scheffler, and many more will tee it up June 22nd through the 26th in Connecticut. But it's more than great golf. With proceeds benefiting local charities, it's also generous giving. For tickets and to learn more, visit TravelersChampionship.com and be sure to catch all the action. And imagine if the coastal beauty of Torrey Pines married the classic layout of Wingfoot. Our friends at Johnny O have pretty much done that with apparel. The brand is East Coast classic meets Southern California cool. We love their performance polos for on and off the course. While supplies last, spend $100 on johnny-o.com and get a free Johnny O dop kit, a $68 value and perfect travel companion. Use code WFAN100 on johnny-o.com while supplies last.
Long Island Window and Door in Commack is an Anderson Excellence retailer. Their professional staff is trained on all Anderson premium products like Anderson 400 series windows, Anderson built backed and service like no other window. Whether you're a homeowner or a contractor, Long Island Window and Door has you covered. Visit Long Island Window and Door today at 1096 Jericho Turnpike in Commack or call 631-543-3100. That's 631-543-3100.
There is no true joy in conforming, but not everyone has what it takes to be different. Introducing a crossover coupe for those who have what it takes to break free. The all-new Infiniti QX55 with a dramatic style that defies expectations and turns heads. The Infiniti QX55. Lead the way. Let the world catch up.
Why do 2.5 million contractors, builders, and homeowners trust AJ Madison? Because they've got the largest selection of appliance brands, plus the industry's first in-stock promise, meaning the appliances you need will be in stock, ready to go. Bet you think it can't get better than that, but you'll be wrong. Memorial Day, you can get up to $2,000 back on a GE Profile appliance package, plus free delivery. Visit AJ Madison's Brooklyn Design Showroom today. For location information and hours, visit ajmadison.com. That's ajmadison.com, your appliance authority.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. And coming up this week in Greenville, South Carolina, a Korn Ferry event, the BMW Charity Pro-Am presented by TD Synnex. And I'm so excited. I'll be returning to Greenville to play in the celebrity amateur portion of the tournament. And joining us now to talk about it, Michael McGovern, Tournament Director of the BMW Charity Pro-Am. Michael, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
And thanks so much for having me on.
You know, it's the only tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour where amateurs and celebrities play with the Korn Ferry Tour professionals. And as you know, having played in it last year, I mean, we're again reminded how good these Korn Ferry Tour professionals are. They're just incredible.
Oh, the talent level on the Korn Ferry Tour is the next, you know, the next step obviously is the PGA Tour, but I would say 90% of those guys on the Korn Ferry Tour can tee it up on the PGA Tour any given week.
Absolutely. And it's a thrill to be inside the ropes and to play with them. And last year I had the opportunity to play with Austin Eckroat. He had 2 eagles in his first round. Incredible. And he finished 7th last year. And when you look at all the players, Michael, recently, you know, who have struck gold on the PGA Tour who came from the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, five Korn Ferry Tour graduates have become top-ranked golfers in the world, including Masters champion Scotty Scheffler, current number one.
Absolutely. Well, the way the PGA Tour set up the Korn Ferry Tour through PGA Tour U, through the Korn Ferry Tour, and then culminating at the PGA Tour, that way and that pathway has been extremely successful to matriculate the guys, but also help showcase the talents early on in their careers.
And just a couple of weeks ago, Mito Pereira, who won the Korn Ferry event, BMW Charity Pro-Am last year, he almost won the PGA Championship. I mean, and everybody knows Mito Pereira now, right? I mean, the talent, as you say, is just phenomenal.
Correct. Mito is our, we're proud to have Mito as our champion from 2021, excuse me, but he did earn his 3-win promotion to the PGA Tour. So, you know, folks like you and our amateurs that play in the tournament, they're playing with next year's stars, which is really, really cool to get to know them before they come famous.
And then just to get into the Korn Ferry Tour, to get on that tour, you know, it's tough because you have to kind of pre-qualify before you get to stage one and two. And then, you know, from stage one and two, you may qualify for stage three. So it's just so competitive on every level.
It is a grind. It is a mental grind for these guys. And, you know, it really comes down to, can you handle the pressure and pull off the shots when you need them? And that's kind of the differentiation between the pros that are on the Korn Ferry Tour and then the guys that are playing the mini tours. Just, you know, they have to deal with the pressure of being able to pull off the shots when they need them.
And there is a lot of pressure. I mean, they're run so professionally, just like a PGA Tour event. You have a lot of people who come to these, you know, tournaments, and there is TV coverage. So yes, there is a lot of pressure. Talk a little bit about the format, Michael, for this particular event.
Absolutely. So we have 160 Korn Ferry Tour professionals, and they'll be paired with 160 amateurs. So of those amateurs, we have 25 celebrities, in which, Ann, you're one of, and the other great celebrities that are joining us, Canelo Alvarez, Anthony Anderson, Larry Fitzgerald, Ken Griffey Jr., Lauren Thompson. So we have a great mix of celebrities joining us this year. So they participate and they partner with a Korn Ferry Tour professional for a one best ball competition played over 2 days. Then we'll make a cut for the amateurs and celebrities, and those folks will play on Thornblade on Saturday, and we'll crown an amateur and a celebrity champion. And then come Sunday at Thornblade Club, it is strictly Korn Ferry Tour professionals playing their final round.
And it's very special because I mentioned earlier, it's really the only tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour where amateurs and celebrities, you know, can play together with these professionals. And that's a great dynamic.
Yeah, our event is unique than every other tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour where you're actually in the competition rounds. And that's unique, similar to Pebble Beach and similar to American Express out at PGA West. But the idea is to have that experience, being inside the ropes with the pressure on and, you know, the golf course being in pristine condition from Kyle Callahan and his team at Thornblade Club and Carolina Club, the way they're really trying to take care of the golf course. It's just, it's a lot of fun to see different reactions from the amateurs when ropes are in the air, ropes and stakes are in the air. It really makes everybody kind of get a little sweaty palms on the first tee.
There is a lot of pressure, as you say, for both the pros and the amateurs. I mean, you mentioned some of the celebrities, Anthony Anderson, the actor from Black-ish, Brian Baumgartner from The Office, Larry the Cable Guy, and then the sports stars, Ken Griffey Jr. These guys, David Wells, they take it so seriously, which you have to, because you want to, you know, as great of athletes as they are, Ozzie Smith and these baseball greats, right? They are so driven and so competitive on the golf course.
That competitive edge is not lost as they get older. That competitive edge in David Wells, you know, David Wells, you bring up his name. He was one shot behind last year going into his final hole, which was a par three, and he dunked it for an ace to win his division. So when you're talking about pressure and you're talking about how do you handle it, you look at David Wells when he was on the, you know, mound for the Yankees, just a complete pressure player. And then when pressure's on the line, he still can do it at his age today and make a hole in one. He won a car for that too. So, you know, he won the tournament and won a car all in one swing.
Unbelievable. What a finish, right? I mean, I remember that ace, David Wells. And yeah, I mean, obviously he's used to the pressure of being a major league baseball pitcher, you know, the World Series, the spectators, all the fanfare that comes along with that. And you wonder how that kind of translates to playing in a golf event. But I guarantee you, as you mentioned before, David probably gets as nervous as everybody else when he gets up on that first tee, right?
Correct. He just knows how to channel it and handle it a little differently than everybody else. So it's fun to watch. You know, Ozzie Smith, what a complete gentleman. He cannot be a better ambassador for the game of golf for St. Louis. He's just a class act. I think there's, you know, nobody at Thornblade is waiting for a picture or an autograph from Ozzie Smith. He signed them all already. So it's so much fun to have somebody like Ozzie and Larry and Brian Baumgartner come back, because it's the connection with our fans and how you make people feel. And, you know, once you make a connection with somebody, it's the fans, it's people, parents showing me videos of Larry and their kid and their sons and their daughters. It's just putting smiles on people's faces. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we need in these days.
That's right. I mean, the interaction with the spectators and especially the kids, it's just so heartwarming. We all love to give up our time and to, you know, just interact with people who come to the tournament to watch us play. And talk a little bit about some of the newcomers as far as the celebrities go this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're bringing in the Shee sisters, young kind of, I want to say, social influencers. They're really big on TikTok and they're making golf videos. Will Lowry, we're really excited to have Will join us. So, you know, our mix of celebrities, we try to make sure that we have the right balance. Everybody in the crowd will have somebody to look up to, hey, say, they look like me, they dress like me. That's kind of what we're trying to make sure, that we have a diverse crowd and everybody has somebody that they could kind of follow and move along with. You know, having Canelo Alvarez, the boxer, join us again this year. It was a big following last year from his Hispanic community. So we've really worked hard to ensure that the Hispanic community felt welcomed in signage in Spanish, and making sure we have interpreters at the admissions gates in case people have questions. So we're really trying to do the right thing to make sure everybody feels welcome and included.
Michael, you and your team think of everything. Really admirable. And you mentioned the boxer Canelo Alvarez. I understand he really hasn't been playing for that long, but he's become a very good player, golfer.
So I call him my favorite golf geek. So he plays golf every day. He loves the game. He's picked it up 3 years now. And his handicap is probably going to be around the 13 at the tournament. Last year was a little high. So this year we're going to kind of level that out a little bit for him and make sure it's equitable for all the celebrities.
He's so talented. I mean, somebody who plays all the time now, but I got to tell you, it's great to see these champions in other sports just so passionate about golf, because golf is just so humbling, right? They can be so great at their given sport, and yet you go on the golf course and you know, they want to perfect it, but they just can't. It's just, I just think golf is the most challenging sport of them all. And I think a lot of these athletes would agree.
You're striving for perfection, knowing that it's never attainable. And it's unbelievable, this sport. It's a generational game where you can play a 10-year-old versus an 80-year-old. And with the handicap system, it's equitable. So that's the beauty, why I love this game so much. It has provided so much for me and my family through my career. And I'm just grateful to BMW and TD Synnex to have me and my team lead this tournament here in the Upstate.
Michael, talk a little bit about your background and when you started playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I grew up in Long Island at Garden City Country Club as a caddy, and just really loved the sport growing up, taking the Long Island Railroad, getting off at Stewart Manor and you know, jumping 18 holes and 36 holes at Garden City Country Club. And then really just fell in love with the game and the sport and the people that are around the game. And then was able to work with H&S Sports Group at the Memorial Tournament for 15 years. and Dan Sullivan and his team, and that tournament's going on this weekend. So it's a lot of fun to kind of see the golf course and everything that Jack is doing up at Muirfield Village. And then, you know, BMW, I've been down here in the upstate of South Carolina now for 5 years and really proud of my team and the community and what we're trying to do here from our sustainability initiatives. And we're going to be a carbon neutral, landfill free tournament. And we'll be one of the only ones on tour to say that. So we're working with Trees Upstate, planting 2,080 trees here in the upstate to offset our carbon for all the travel, for all the people coming to the tournament.
That's incredible. And the activities that take place all week really appeal to everyone, as you know, your field appeals to everyone. And that BMW Performance Center in Spartanburg is really one of the highlights, don't you think?
It is. That Performance Center, it is so great that it's in our backyard, that we use that as a sales tool. And we put somebody in the Performance Center. I want to say the success rate on contracts is probably around 100. So it's really great when you send a client over there and they just have the speed freaks and they just have a great time and it's a lot of fun. What's even better is you just get out of the car and walk away and they have to deal with the tires and they have to deal with the brakes and they have to deal with everything else that you just did to the car, which is awesome.
Exactly. That was so much fun and I can't wait to test drive some of those speedy cars this coming week. Really, really enjoyed that part of the week. And then I know on Wednesday, you have Amy Alcott and Friends Luncheon and Clinic for Women. I'm delighted to be a part of that panel. That should be very, very special as well for the women.
Absolutely, Anne. So what's really important to us, like we said earlier, is generational. I want to put a golf club in a woman's hand because I think golf advances so many different opportunities when you are on the golf course. I just think the sport in general really matriculates people's careers. So having Amy Alcott, the LPGA Hall of Famer, come to the tournament, we had to highlight her and her accomplishments along with the other great females that we have playing in the tournament. I'm extremely grateful to Alex Baldwin, the president of the Korn Ferry Tour. She's going to be in attendance as well with you and Lauren Thompson. So it's a great, great event, luncheon, galleria, and then putting clubs in women's hands and really kind of just showing them that, you know, golf is a sport that everybody can enjoy.
That's right. And golf is such an excellent vehicle for business, for men and women. I mean, it's the center of everything I do, you know, from work to play to vacations. It's just such a great sport because you can incorporate it in every part of your life. And as you mentioned, you can play with as a woman, I can play with men who are better than I am or worse than I am based on the handicap system and where you can tee off. I mean, it's really a game for everybody. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with Amy Alcott and being part of that panel and talk a little bit about some of the other activities that you have going on this coming week.
Without a doubt. So what we say at the tournament is that we just having a big party and there's a golf tournament going on.
That's true.
We start with Tuesday night up in Spartanburg. We have Marshall Tucker Band. They're performing for the first time in Spartanburg in 15 years. And this is their 50th anniversary of them being a band together. So we're really excited for that. Wednesday night, we go to the Performance Center and do the driving experience. And then there's the celebrity party with TD Cinex. Thursday night, we're going to be with Davis Sesner at Threes of Greenville and having celebrity opportunities for hole-in-ones. And then Friday night, we have our friends Jay DeMarcus and Generation Radio having a Friday night concert for our guests. So it really is a lot of fun, a lot of activities. But what we try to do is make sure that at the forefront, charitable giving is always at the forefront.
Absolutely. And people have no idea that it's a year-round effort to organize a tournament like this. And it's a lot of hard work, but you certainly have a great team, Michael McGovern. And I look forward to participating again this week. Long Island's own Michael McGovern, thanks so much for being on Talking Golf.
And thank you so much. We can't wait to see you next week here in the upstate.
Looking forward to it. All righty. We'll shift gears to the U.S. Women's Open, which concludes this afternoon at Pine Needles in Southern Pines, North Carolina. Coming up, Steve Eubanks managing editor of ALPGA on the U.S. Women's Open. The final round this afternoon, the winner will take home a record $1.8 million in prize money. But first, let me tell you that Travelers never loses sight of its promise to take care of customers and communities. That's why the company supports the Travelers Championship, Connecticut's world-class PGA Tour event that gives 100% of net proceeds to charity. Since 2007, the tournament has generated over $22 million for nonprofits across the region, thanks to the support of some of the PGA Tour's best players, thousands of volunteers, and all the loyal fans. For tickets and to learn more, visit TravelersChampionship.com. Be sure to catch all the action June 22nd to the 26th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. Hope you're having a great morning so far. And the U.S. Women's Open is taking place at Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Club in Southern Pines, North Carolina. It's just a classic Donald Ross layout. And joining me now, longtime journalist, author, colleague, and friend, Steve Eubanks, who is the managing director of the ALPGA. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Good morning, Ann. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, and boy, Pine Needles, I know it's the first course to be awarded for U.S. Women's Open. It's such an iconic venue, and talk a little bit about the history of Pine Needles.
Well, it's an original Donald Ross design, and it was part of this complex in Southern Pines and Pinehurst when this was sort of the end of the train line, when a lot of people from the Northeast and Midwest were looking to escape the winters, and they wanted a place to come down for the spring, and this was the place they ended up, the Sand Hills of North Carolina. It's just gorgeous. I mean, when you get out to the golf course itself, you realize what classic architecture should look like. The terrain, the hills, the sand underneath, the pine trees, just spectacular. But what makes this golf course unique is the green complexes. If anybody remembers or has played Pinehurst Number 2, you know what classic Donald Ross architecture looks like. It's like trying to stop a mid-iron on a pitcher's mound. I mean, there are some greens out here that look like a wedding cake. And so you've got a lot of these girls that are hitting shots, and they can't believe it. The balls are rolling off into these runoff areas, or they're hitting the front of the green and it's rolling all the way off the back. So there's a lot of strategic ways of playing this golf course that I think make you think. It makes golfers come in with a game plan, and you have to be disciplined. You have to hit to the center of the locations. You have to play away from some pins, even if you have a wedge in your hand, just because the severity of missing it by a foot is too great. And it's been a great week to watch. It's been a great week to watch them be frustrated, to learn, and some of them to play remarkably well.
I find number two at Pinehurst almost impossible to play because it's so hard, as you mentioned, to keep the ball on the green with your approach shots. But and a lot of people, when they think of that area, they think of all those courses associated with Pinehurst Resort. But Pine Needles offers like a completely kind of different experience, right?
Really does. It's Peggy Kirk Bell ended up buying the thing in the 1950s and created a lodge there and created kind of this very club-like atmosphere, unlike the resort hotel where you have all of those golf courses and the grand hotel that sits on the hill behind it. Peggy's is much more intimate. Pine Needles and just across the street at the club, they also own Mid Pines. Just very down-home club feel. You go in there, and it's one of those places where it's very classic. You enjoy being there, but you would feel comfortable putting your feet up as you sit and have a post-round cocktail.
I would love to spend some more time there. It just looks so inviting. Well, let's talk a little bit about this record $10 million purse, which is incredible. It's an increase of $4.5 million for the women. I know ProMedica has a lot to do with that, the title sponsor. The winner today, Steve, will take home $1.8 million. The runner-up 1,080,000. Now, I know compared to the men, it's still not as much. Last year, John Rahm, who won the U.S. Open, won $2.25 million. And I know the total purse for the men is $12.5 million. But I'm interested in hearing what the opinion is of the women players. Are they happy that the prize money has increased? I would assume they're very happy about that. But is it more they're still upset that it's not equal to the guys? Or what's the buzz as far as the prize money goes?
No, people are thrilled. People are thrilled. Players are thrilled because they see it moving in the right direction. Not just with the USGA and with ProMedica and the U.S. Women's Open, but with all of our sponsors. They see that people recognize their value, and they are incrementally increasing the purses as a result of that value. They, you know, maybe it isn't equal to the men's yet, but they think they're getting there. And I think that's really all they wanted. They wanted recognition and some progress in the right direction. That's happening. That's happening across the board in women's golf right now.
It certainly is. So I'm glad to hear that because, when you think of what Annika made back in the 90s winning the U.S. Open, it was like $220,000. I mentioned it earlier in the show. And, $1.8 million, that's a great improvement for sure. So I hope that they're patient and realize that it will probably be equal prize money before you know it. But they've come a long way, baby, as they used to say with Virginia Slims. Remember that line?
I do, absolutely. There are a few of us, Ann, who remember that, but I'm one.
I know, exactly. Well, let's talk about Minji Lee. She has a 3-shot lead over Amina Harrigy from Northern California. Minji Lee's Australian. Her swing is such a joy to watch, Steve. It almost looks like a perfect golf swing to me. And I know she won the Founders Cup a couple weeks back, and I just love to watch Minji Lee play. Her swing looks perfect to me.
I said this since she was a teenager. I said if there was a more technically perfect golf swing anywhere, I don't know where it is. It's just there are no wasted motion. There's no moving parts. And she gets the most out of every ounce in her body. It's really fun to watch. It's poetic almost to watch her hit a driver, and her iron play is so crisp. It's been so long since I've seen her miss hit an iron, and it's because there's just so little that can go wrong. That's one of the reasons she is in the position that she's in now. Granted, her putting and short game has improved considerably over the last year and a half to 2 years. But that ball striking has been with us for a long time, and I'm glad people are finally seeing and recognizing it for what it is.
Absolutely. Any of you golfers out there who, you know, want to see a perfect swing, just watch Minji Lee today. She is winning by 3 shots. I know she and Harrigy were tied for a while they were tied after 36 holes. Lee actually had 4 straight birdies yesterday, which helped her shoot that 4-under 67. Harrigy bogeyed a couple holes on the back, but it was pretty competitive yesterday. Do you think Minji Lee can maintain that lead and go on to win another major?
Minji Lee has never blown a 54-hole lead, and has not blown a 36-hole lead since 2015. So wow. I think if you were looking at the odds, Minji would be the person that you would have to say has the upper hand, plus the 3-shot lead. It's a nice cushion to have going into the final round. But once again, you're talking about a major championship Sunday, and you're talking about a golf course where you have to be incredibly precise and disciplined. So anything can happen.
And you have to make the putts. It all comes down. I mean, her iron game, as you said, is incredible. Her approach shots, but you have to make the putts. So I think she'll win, but you never know with all that pressure. It's just a joy to watch. Let's talk a little bit about Nelly Korda, because I know she's making her first start in 4 months, Steve, after undergoing surgery for a blood clot, which was so weird. She's 23 years old. She was coming off such a great season last year, the Olympic gold medalist. She won multiple times. But she looks like she can come back pretty quickly. I mean, it's great to see her back out there.
It's tremendous to see her back out there. And I think she entered with no expectations. To see her on the first page of the leaderboard, it almost brings a tear to your eye to know that someone has that level of talent, has that level of discipline and dedication, and can come back the way she has come back. Blood clots are dangerous. I mean, when we first got the news that this was what this was, there was a lot of concern. And I think with Nellie, she gave up very little about the condition, but it sounds like she was just enough of a hypochondriac that she knew she wasn't feeling well. She went to her general practitioner, told him what the symptoms were, and the general practitioner said, you need to go to the emergency room right now. And they were able to catch this thing and have surgery on it fairly quickly to remove it. And she's still wearing a compression sleeve. I'm sure she's on some kinds of medications. We don't know that for sure, but I would recommend, having seen other people who have this sort of thing, that would be my guess. And I would say that she's going to be making a full recovery if she isn't recovered already. But my goodness, I mean, to come back in a major championship setting at this golf course and play this well, I think people were surprised she made the cut. And then for her to be in contention, holy smokes, really good
stuff.
Exactly.
And speaking of serious issues, Danielle Kang revealed this past week that she has a tumor on her spine. And she not only played, she made the cut. And that's just incredible, despite what could be another very serious issue.
It really could be. I mean, Danielle has been struggling with back pain for several months now. I think she wasn't quite sure what it was. And so going to a series of specialists, she has figured this out now. Obviously, we don't know the severity of this and, probably won't know. We're all thinking about Danielle and hoping that that this works out for the best.
It's always great to see Annika Sørenstam playing anywhere, and the fact that she played this week is incredible, 51 years of age. Unfortunately, she did not make the cut, but talk a little bit about the atmosphere there and how the golf fans were just thrilled to see her.
And I wish you could have been here. She teed off on Thursday. On the way this course is configured, they're going off of 1 and 9 rather than 1 and 10 during the first couple of days. So she went off the 9th tee, which is sort of away from the lodge and sitting back. And I didn't think anybody would show up. I thought you would have friends and family, perhaps a few fans that would wander back there. It was 3 deep. It was 3 deep down both sides of the fairway. And the rouse of applause that she received when she was introduced hitting first in that first group it was really an emotional moment. It was an emotional moment for her family, for the fans, for everyone who was there to see it. It was just tremendous. And you know what? She came as prepared as she could. As she told me later, she said, I've got so many other things that I'm worried about now. You know, she's worried about her family. She's looking around, making sure the kids are drinking enough water. Her husband is caddying for her. So, she's making sure he's healthy. She had to go home and cook dinner after the first night out. So, she has a lot of other priorities and a lot of other things on her mind now other than golf. But just seeing that wonderful golf swing again and remembering what it was like when she was in her heyday, my goodness, it's special.
Very, very special. We have about a minute left, Steve. Michelle Wee is also a mom, and apparently she's calling it a career, although she did say she would play next year at the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach. But Michelle Wee, what a career, right?
It has been a career. I mean, I think, obviously there are going to be a lot of people who look back and say Michelle underachieved, but I think that she's a major champion. She's a multiple-time winner. Given her health issues and all of the things she battled, particularly battling the expectations of everyone else. I think she is a very well-rounded young woman. And I wish her only the best going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, all that pressure, all those expectations, her entire life, and yet she seems very happy. She's married to Jerry West's son, right? She has a child now, and I'm glad that she came out of it okay, because I remember when she was a teenager and how much pressure and expectation there was on this young woman, because she was such a good player back then. But she managed to handle all of it quite well, I would say.
Very balanced. It's wonderful to see.
Steve, thank you so much for getting up early for us. Enjoy the final round with the U.S. Women's Open, and thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ann. Great to be with you as always.
My pleasure. Steve Eubanks from Southern Pines, North Carolina. My thanks to Michael McGovern, the tournament director of the BMW Charity Pro-Am, coming up this week. My thanks to Ed are zooming in the studio, and my thanks to you for listening. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf in the Sports Edge. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Wish me luck in the BMW Charity Prom this week, and I look forward to talking with you next Sunday right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.